the daughter of King Kōtiki was selected as our sixth Māori monarch and the first queen during her dad's tangi. That was in accordance with Kingi Tangon protocol. She assumed her mum's name, Tātārangi Kāhu, and she went on to be one of our most popular monarchs, Māori, a wonderful wahine. And she passed away of 2006, shortly after celebrating her 40th jubilee as queen. Of course, the first Māori king was Te Whiriwhiri, took office in 1858 after tribes from around the country discussed the idea of appointing a monarch. The Kingitanga survived the wars of the 19th century and remains an important and enduring expression of Māori unity and its place in our country's society was demonstrated by the widespread outpouring of grief when Tariki Nui Dame Tātārangi Kāhu died. Her coronation was this day of 1966. You're with 603. Just like to also remind you too of our talkback sessions, which are on through the week. JT Wednesdays, Thursdays with Donna, and also Kitty Fridays with Ray, doing sport predominantly, and Monday, Tuesdays with Medipika Rokawa Tate. Reikura Kahi is with us today. Reikura is the co-chair of Te Matawai. Te Matawai and Waka Kotahi have released a package of bilingual traffic signs for public consultation. That's part of the He Tohu Huarahi Māori Bilingual Traffic Signs Program, which will enable the use of te reo Māori on traffic signs across the country. Reikura Kahi with us today at Tuene. Tēnā koe. Thanks for joining us again. Reikura, kia ora.
Tēnā koe, Dale.
Hi there. These are very visible examples of bilingualism. And even if you're not a great supporter of reo Māori, and I'm hoping you know that those people are becoming less and less going forward, this is a nice way for us to be reminded of the land that we live in. What's the backdrop to this situation of bilingual traffic signs from Te Matawai's perspective, Reikura?
As you mentioned, it's really important to reinforce the value, number one, of te reo Māori in Aotearoa and its place as the official language of Aotearoa. And also, may I emphasise that this is an example of partnership between Te Matawai and the government, and we've, over the last 2 years, have had discussions and obviously started implementing these bilingual signage, starting with Kura School. So a lot of listeners would have seen close to your local school a Kura School sign, and that's the first of many. And then, as you mentioned, yesterday released for consultation, 94 signs, which range from motorway signs to warning signs. And, you know, the background to this is that there's absolutely a lot of benefit for not only Māori tamariki, those learning Māori language, but for us as a nation as we walk together towards you know, a national identity that is very Māori and Kiwi, and as we work together, I think, you know, this is a great example of what we can produce. And these 94 signs, of course, have gone through rigorous safety checks to ensure that these signs, while you're driving along, won't cause any crashes, and also, you know, we want to avoid that as much as we can. And so, you know, this public consultation allows the public, any entities, to give feedback, and we welcome all that feedback.
Can we touch on the timing? Because as the crusty old cats have been so anti-Māori imagery and signage move on, we're seeing the younger generation much less fazed by it, to be honest. And I'm looking at a sign on the RNZ website at the moment, and it's about Havelock North, which is frustrating to us when, you know, we've been forced to accommodate these names that were imported, and an example of the colonisation of our land. Hey, Reikura. And it's beautifully bilingual with Havelock North and Karanema. This is just one example, but do you think the timing of this is appropriate, bearing in mind younger New Zealanders or younger people who call Aotearoa home are much less fazed by this bilingualism than previous generations?
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's the changing of times definitely a younger generation who is more open to bilingualism, more open to learning other languages. And, you know, as we move away from those who don't want to see any change, we see bilingual signage as a way to push us forward to where we want to be as a nation. And that's one of our objectives as Te Mātāwai, is to restore the Māori language to the first language in the home and ensure that our people, Māori people, and also everybody of Aotearoa are supported in their journey to learn the language. And you're right. I mean, there are so many people who are criticising outside of this new generation that this is, you know, what's the worth? Why are we moving so quickly? And it hasn't been quickly. I mean, you look at Wales and they implemented bilingual signage in the 70s. And here we are, 2023, with one sign that's bilingual and that's Kura School, and moving towards 94 signs. So we are behind on the times internationally. But we, as Te Mātāwai, see this as a great move forward to support our whānau, especially the next generation, to continue to learn Māori and to speak Māori in spaces and places where they exist.
The opposition, which effectively came from NZTA, to the usage of a kura sign, saying that some people won't know what kura means, that seems a long way off now. It's probably 10 years ago.
Yes.
And so, you know, we've moved, haven't we? There's 94 signs up for consultation. What are some that you might share with us that have taken your eye as an example of what we're talking about, Leikura?
Yeah, well, you just mentioned Kura School. And really, in a time where we hear Māori language on news, on our radio stations, you know, whānau is one that's been widely used, and we understand this. And kura definitely now is one of those words, Māori words, that we understand and know and believe that this is the right move. So tūngapahi is probably one sign for bus stop. And I know that a lot of tamariki will see this sign and use this sign at home, at school, as they travel towards where they need to go. And that's a great example of kupu that are easy, that we hope whānau will utilise in their everyday life. And I must mention that the rollout of this of these signs, 94 signs, once public health consultation has been completed, it's a cost-effective rollout. So these signs will replace the old signs once there is some a change in the area. Mainly the roads are being redone, so the signs around that roadworks will be bilingual signage. And those up north who are impacted, and Kahungunu and Te Rāwhitu impacted by the cyclone, they will see bilingual signage earlier than other cities. And cities like Auckland will see bilingual signage earlier, as well as you see new development and new housing development throughout the city. And that's how these signs will be rolled out. So it's really cost-effective, and they are going to be replaced anyway. So, you know, those who are saying, well, you know, how much money are we spending? This is money that we will spend anyway. So cost-effective signing, bilingual signage, great partnership between Te Mātāwai and Waka Kotahi. And I must thank the Minister Michael Wood and Minister Associate Minister Kitty Allen for their support. And moving forward, we couldn't have done it without each other. So it's a great example of partnership.
Obviously, I'd understand too if Te Mātāwai wanted reo anake or reo only signage, But was it a deliberate strategy from Te Matawai to go initially down a bilingual path as a precursor to one day having just Reo Māori signage? What's the attitude from the organisation in that regard, Rekula?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You hit it on the head there, Dale. This is step one to a bigger picture where we ultimately would like there to be, and especially in those who are strong Māori-speaking towns where they have absolutely Māori signs and they can interact with these signs because they are already speakers. So going from bilingual signage to Reo Māori signs is definitely where we want to be. And that supports a growing Māori-speaking community in Aotearoa.
Tēnā koe. Well, you know, got to strike while the iron's hot, sister.
Absolutely.
So that's that, kaupapa. What about the dosh that's going to Te Matatini? You've been a wonderful advocate for our performing arts across many years, decades now, Rekula. Yes. And finally, yes, some substantial funding to a celebration of our traditions that has really been forced to struggle across the years. It's a significant boost, and what did you make of that focus, and how beneficial will it be to the growth and development and the spreading of the love, so to speak, of kapahaka across the country?
Oh, hugely beneficial. I mean, as a leader of a kapahaka group in West Auckland, we were celebrating as soon as we found out, and it's a lot of effort from all kapa around the motu, to emphasise how important culture identity is for the cultural fabric of Aotearoa. And as we move forward and celebrating what we just did in Auckland at Eden Park with the most successful Matatini competition in the last 50 years, it's amazing. And you saw so many millions of people tuning in via TVNZ, and also those who attended the competition. We're celebrating because we know that all those, the 50 years that Matatini has existed, all those fundraisers and sausage sizzles and hangi tickets that we've sold over the years trying to get to a point where we can go to the next competition. Hopefully all of these kapa are supported in their journey, not only to learn the waiata and the motete of their rohe and their iwi and their hapu, but also to join in the celebration of Māori culture. And ultimately, this is a great indication that this current government value te reo Māori, they value Māori culture, and they realise that kapahaka is what everybody around the world know us for. And it's what we are, what makes us unique. And while the All Blacks, they travel around the world playing rugby, and everybody sees the haka, and they identify that as the haka that is unique to Aotearoa. And that's kapahaka, ultimately. And our next generation, and those who compete and perform at primary, intermediate, through to high school, they can look forward to an easier road towards standing on that stage and showing everybody what they're capable of and supporting the next generation of Matatini performers is really important. And a big mihi to the Matatini board, our chair, and also our CE for their efforts to force the government to recognise that Māori culture is important to Aotearoa and us as a nation. And, we were all celebrating in February with a great competition, after a great competition, and, many more to come as we move towards Aotea Taranaki for the next Matatini. And, it's amazing that after so many years that we can celebrate this money, and that will go towards all the groups.
Well, your colleague, Rauri Waititi, thinks that it's all of his doing, and he's expecting a banana cake from you, Rekura. Look, just finally, you produce programs as well, and your tan is very prominent in creating Māori content, and I know that Tarapa can't just be a full-time basketball coach for your kids. So has he got anything on the boil? And likewise, you from a production side, sis, what's the bro working on?
Yeah, well, we have to celebrate also the injection of money into Te Ao Pāpaho and Whakaata Māori and Māori storytellers reclaiming the narrative, because it's important that we understand that we need to tell our own stories our way, and Muru is a great example of that. And we're heading towards the release of Muru on TV3 Discovery in September, Māori Language Week. And in and around that film, our film is also a series that looks at the whānau that were impacted, the valley that was impacted by these raids, and how we move forward and what are the solutions to ensure that this never happens again. And so also we're heading towards, you know, more films. But I must say, you know, the number of Māori that are in film are very small, and I do encourage our next generation of storytellers to, you know, look for a career in film, because it is a great way of telling our stories, and we need more storytellers, more writers, more directors, more producers of Māori content to ensure that our stories live and thrive in Aotearoa and also internationally. So he's got a lot on the ball, and by the end of the year we'll be able to release what that looks like. But more immediately, September, Muru on free-to-air channel TV3 Discovery, and a documentary series around Tamaiti and those whānau who were impacted by the Tūhoe raid. So look out for that.
Great to catch up with you, sis. Thanks very much for talking on a number of fronts, and I'll tell Rawiri that there's a banana cake on the way. Even though I don't think he's eating banana cake at the moment, Rekura. Appreciate your thoughts. Have a great day, sis. Thank you. Dale. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Rekura Kai, joining us today from Te Matawa.